WBSM presents The Tim Meisberg Show, streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, The Tim Meisberg Show.
Welcome back in hour number three of the program here on this bright and sunny Tuesday morning. And the reminder that today is Overdose Awareness Day. And it will be happening, the event will be happening downtown this afternoon, evening. It kicks off at 5:30 on the steps of New Bedford City Hall with some speakers offering insight into overdose, into drug-related deaths, and the lasting effects of drug use. Then there'll be a procession to Custom House Square, where participants will gather to honor and remember their loved ones from 6 to 8 p.m. And people are encouraged to bring a memorial item to be part of this year's event for inclusion in a memorial space at Custom House Square. The event will feature resources, services, a variety of local community support, and there will be music, activities, food, and ice cream free of charge. So again, 5:30 on the steps of City Hall, followed by a procession to Custom House Square, where there'll be a ceremony there from 6 to 8 p.m. We've been talking about a number of things this morning, including the back and forth between the Trump camp and the Harris camp about whether or not the microphone should be muted when candidates are not answering a question during an upcoming debate. We know there's one scheduled for September 10th on ABC, but everything's kind of in disarray. But just if that goes forward, you know, should the mics be muted? What would you like to see? Another topic we discussed earlier, too, was VHS tapes have made a comeback with the younger generation. People who grew up probably mostly on DVDs, but I'm sure there are some people who are my age who grew up on VHS tapes that are collecting them and watching them and enjoying them. And for me, being able to own a movie and watch it again and again and again whenever I wanted was a huge thing growing up. I taped a lot of movies off cable because we went through periods where we did have cable and where we didn't have cable when I was growing it up. It all depends on what the bills were like. You know, if things got a little tight, cable was the first thing to get cut. So there were times that we had it. There were times that we didn't. Same with a VCR. There was times that we owned a VCR. There were times that we rented a VCR. You know, if the VCR broke and we couldn't afford to replace it, well, you know, wait till Saturday. We'll go rent one at the supermarket with a couple of movies. Nah, then around like 1986, 87, we got one permanently and we always had one after that. But the VHS tape was a huge, huge thing because now you could watch a movie whenever you wanted, even if you taped it or if you bought it, whatever. And people forget too, because it eventually got to the point where you could just walk into a store and buy a VHS tape for, I don't know, like $9.95 or $19.95 if it was a new release. When those tapes came out, if you wanted to buy one, they were $100. Cost $99.95 to buy a brand new movie on VHS at first. And then there was a time that I rented a movie from Hollywood Video in downtown Wareham. Was it Hollywood? Yeah, I think it was Hollywood Video, downtown Wareham. And we would do the same procedure every time. I would rent the movie, go over my girlfriend's house, which was a block away from the movie, from the video store. We'd watch the movie. And then on my way home from her house, going back to my house, which I would drive right by the video store, I would stop and drop it in the overnight slot. And I did that. And they tried to say that the movie never got returned. This is 2000, maybe. Maybe like 1998, 99, 2000, like around that time. And I told them, no, I returned the movie. We don't have it. We don't have the movie. You have to pay to replace the movie. Well, how much is it? $95. No, it isn't. I can go buy that movie right now at Walmart off the shelf for 20 bucks. You're going to charge me $95 for it? And I stood in the store and I fought them on it. And I said, I'm not paying it. You can sue me for it. And you're not going to stop me from renting another movie over it because you have no proof that I didn't return it. And it turned into a whole thing. But anyway, yeah. But that's the point is, you know, videotapes got really cheap by the end. But now kids are paying 50, 60 bucks for a VHS tape to have it to their collection. So if you're sitting on some old movies, especially old horror films, you know, if you've got a VHS tape of The Amityville Horror, Poltergeist, Jaws, especially some of those cheesy 80 horror movies or some of the B movies, if you've got those on VHS kicking around, you can get big money for those. And if you've got a working VCR, you can get some good money for that too. I have, not only do I have a VCR, I have one of those things, and I don't know where it is, but I have one of those things that allows you to plug in the VCR into the computer so that you can digitally transfer whatever is on the VHS tape, because I had so many tapes from stuff that I made in the AV club, and I wanted to transfer them to digital, and I was like getting ready to do it all, and I never really did them, but I still have the VHS tapes. One of these days I'll get it, and then I'll put it up on YouTube for you to be able to watch. You can be like, this kid was an idiot. Who gave that kid a video camera? What a dope. But again, you can make some money. So, you know, I figured I'd let you know in case you got those laying around and you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do with these. I don't know why I'm keeping them. I should just throw them away. Just go drop them off at Savers. No. You can make some good money. You know what else goes for crazy money? The Disney VHS tapes. The ones that came in like the white box that closed up, and I don't know how to describe it. But they're kind of puffy, the boxes. Like those VHS tapes of Disney movies, which everybody was buying back in those days, go for big, big bucks. Especially if you have the ones that are in the Disney vault. The ones that you can't get anywhere else, the ones that don't stream on Disney Plus. You got a Watcher in the Woods VHS, you might be able to put a kid through college. Okay, maybe not put a kid through college, but, you know, maybe gas money to get to college for a week. But yeah, those go for big bucks. We didn't have a whole heck of a lot of those when I was a kid. But when my son was little, we got them all on DVD. So we had, you know, Cars, whatever else came out like around the time that he was young. Toy Story and things like that. But we also had, I went back and bought older movies like Mary Poppins, Snow White, Cinderella. Just so that we could have, you know, a complete Disney collection. And then when I was moving and I wanted to get rid of them, nobody would take them. I was like, these are free. Who wants them? Nobody wanted them. Oh, we have Disney Plus. We can watch all those streaming. We don't need the DVDs. So yeah, if you've got those, you can make some good money for yourself. 508-996-0500. app chat, open line voicemails, and the WBSM app. I also have a story up at WBSM.com and on the WBSM app for you to check out. I found this out a couple of weeks ago, and I had no idea that this was even true, that this was even a thing. And again, I don't know how I've lived 46 years and not known this. But you know how the MBTA subway lines are all different colors? There's the red line, the green line, the blue line, the orange line. Those colors actually have a significance. And I did not know that. I just figured they use primary colors because it's easy to distinguish. But I guess back before 1965, all the routes were known by their names. That's why they're still like the Ashmont line, the Braintree line. You know, they still have the names of the terminus on there because that's how people knew those lines. Oh, take the Braintree line, but don't get on the number four car. The number four car is not going to go all the way to Braintree. That's going to go to Mattapan. So, like, you kind of knew. That's the Ashmont train. You went by the destination, and you went by the number of the train. So, in 1965, they're trying to simplify everything because the MBTA came into existence in 64. So, as they're trying to come into a more modern approach to this, they came up with a color-coded designation. And the color codings actually have a meaning behind them. Now, the MBTA on one page on their site says, yes, here's the story behind all the colors. On another page says, the orange and the orange and the blue line don't actually really have any significance. I think it was, which two did they say? I know the orange was one of them. Orange and green lines. Orange and green lines was just random. But I don't know. I'd like to believe in the story behind them. So what is the story behind them? Well, the red line is called the red line because originally it ended at Harvard, but now it goes through Harvard, whose sports teams are known as the Crimson. So that's why it's red. The orange line is because it runs under Washington Street, which was formerly named Orange Street. The Green Line is named so because it travels through Boston's Emerald Necklace Park system, an 1,100-acre chain of parks and waterways that runs through Boston and Brookline that looks like, when you look at Boston Neck on a map, the Emerald Necklace, the parks, they look like they make a chain around the neck. So that's why it's the Green Line. The Blue Line is named the Blue Line because it runs underneath Boston Harbor and along the Atlantic Ocean. Now, why is it called the Silver Line for buses and Purple Line for the commuter rail? Doesn't seem to be any significance behind those. But still, having those four lines with a good story behind them, I think that's pretty neat. And also, it kind of helps you differentiate where you're going to go and how you're going to get there. So, you know, if you want to go out to, you know, one of the parks, well, that must be the Green Line. Oh, we got to get to Harvard. We're going to Boston Calling. Well, we're going to take the Red Line. So, you know, it's cool to find something new like that. I saw one of the commuter rail trains yesterday behind the McDonald's over on Kings Highway. I went over to Savers, and behind McDonald's, as I was pulling into the plaza, I could see one of the trains just parked there. I guess the New Bedford Light got to go on a little tour. They showed them the train station. They told them how it all works, all the testing. They took them on an SUV that rides on the tracks. They took them out to Berkeley. We didn't get that. We didn't get that invite, but whatever. And they have a great story about it at newbedfordlight.org. So you can check that out. And they explain exactly what has to go through, what has to go on in the testing process, and why South Coast Rail is now delayed until May as they get through this testing process. And as somebody who plans to ride those trains, I'm glad that they're testing it as much as they are. because these things are going to go 79 miles an hour. I want them to be as safe as possible. And I want them to be absolutely certain that they are. And that if that means waiting a few more months, it means waiting a few more months. But next year, if I can go to Boston Calling by taking the train from New Bedford to Harvard, not the same train, but if I can go from New Bedford to South Station and then from South Station on to Harvard, I like that plan. Of course, they've got to have trains that are going to be coming back at night to make that worth it. And we don't have any idea what the time of the trains are going to be yet. 508-996-0500, app chat and open line voicemails on the WBSM app. Right now, I'm going to take my next break. We'll be back in just a few moments. And welcome back in. We're going to be going into the newsroom in just a moment. On the other side, we can take more of your phone calls at 508-996-0500. App chat messages, just texting me right here in the studio using the WBSM app. You can also use the app to enter our contest to win tickets to see James Taylor and his all-star band on September 9th at MGM Music Hall at Fenway. And again, these are standing room only tickets. So keep that in mind if you enter. If standing up for a couple of hours is not in the cards for you, then maybe skip this contest. We'll have other ones. In fact, we just got another big show in to give away tickets to. I won't say anything yet because I don't know how we're dividing up the tickets between us and Fun 107, but we got a big show down in Connecticut with a major act who's making headlines these days because they told the Trump campaign, don't use our song. But I don't want to give away any more than that. That's all we'll say. And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised. If I know Town Square Media, if this reunion happens with Oasis and they really are booking all these shows, pay attention because you might see pop up on our website an Oasis flyaway. I don't know that for sure, but I'm just saying it would not surprise me knowing how great Town Square Media is about putting together these great big trips. So anyway, it's time now to go into the news and get all the top stories of the day from Phil Devitt.
Donald Trump not so sure about his ABC debate with Kamala Harris. Facebook admits it was pressured to censor Americans, and a La Bamba remake in development.
From the WBSM newsroom, this is WBSM News.
Former President Trump is questioning why he should debate Vice President Kamala Harris on ABC News next month.
I think ABC should be shut out. I'd much rather do it on NBC. I'd much rather do it on CBS, frankly. I think CBS is very unfair, but the best of the group.
The two are scheduled to take the stage on the network on September 10th in Philadelphia. In a Truth Social post on Sunday, Trump said he watched an interview with Republican Senator Tom Cotton on ABC, which he called biased, and said the network held a discussion with a panel of Trump haters. It comes as both campaigns fight over the rules for the debate, including the Harris camp wanting open mics, while the Trump campaign does not. Meta CEO Mark Zuckerberg penning a letter to the House Judiciary Committee admitting that the Biden administration pressured Facebook to censor Americans. Karen Curtis reports.
In the letter to House Judiciary Committee Chairman Representative Jim Jordan, Zuckerberg wrote that senior Biden administration officials, including the White House, repeatedly pressured Meta to censor content related to COVID-19, and he admitted it was wrong to block the coverage of Hunter Biden's infamous laptop. Zuckerberg says he regrets complying with certain demands and assured Jordan that Meta has put policies in place to ensure this doesn't happen again. Karen Curtis, Miami.
A Biden administration program that would give legal status to undocumented immigrants married to American citizens is on hold after a judge's ruling. A federal judge in Texas on Monday blocked the program for 14 days, although the Department of Homeland Security can still accept applications. The program was challenged by 16 Republican-led states. Lowe's is pulling back on its diversity, equity, and inclusion policies after pressure from conservative podcaster Robbie Starbuck. Starbuck said he approached the company last week and said he planned to take aim at them over their employee resource groups and donations to Pride events. The home improvement company didn't comment but did send a memo to employees Monday that it was reviewing its policies after the 2023 Supreme Court decision to strike down affirmative action in college admissions. And the story of rock and roll legend Ritchie Valens is heading back to the big screen. Variety reports Sony Pictures is developing a remake of the Golden Globe-nominated 1987 film La Bamba. The movie told the story of the Mexican-American's rise from a field worker to teenage rock star. Valens died at the age of 17 in a plane crash along with Buddy Holly and the Big Bopper. The writer and director of the original film, Luis Valdez, will serve as executive producer.
WBSM Sports.
Well, the Red Sox lost to the Toronto Blue Jays twice on Monday, 4-1 and 7-3, but another game on deck today at Fenway Park. And the New England Patriots gearing up for the regular season. That starts September 8th away with the Cincinnati Bengals.
Now your ABC 6 South Coast forecast.
Humidity remains in place after all of that unsettled and severe weather across the region yesterday. Areas of dense fog this morning, temperature in the low 60s, sunny and 80 this afternoon, partly cloudy skies overnight with the areas of fog mid-60s. As we head into this Wednesday, partial sunshine with a slight chance for showers and thunderstorms, temperatures around 80. Be sure to watch ABC 6 for my full 7-day forecast. From the ABC 6 Weather Center, I'm meteorologist Ceci del Carmen on New Bedford's News Talk Station 1420 WBSM.
I'm Phil Devitt for WBSM News. Stay up to date with New Bedford's News Talk Station WBSM and get all of our content and breaking news alerts with the WBSM app.
Welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Gotta love a little icky thump in the morning. So there's a story that comes out of Marblehead about a jogger who may have been bitten by a coyote. Police in Marblehead said they received a report of a dog bite to a person who was jogging along Brown Street in Marblehead. By the way, this comes courtesy of WCVB. And the department posted to Facebook, after an investigation by animal control and the animal inspector, it has been determined that the biting animal was possibly a coyote and the resulting injuries were not life-threatening. So residents are urged to be aware and report any daytime sightings of coyotes for the next few days. They said that if the biting animal was rabid, its health would decline rapidly in the next few days. Rabies is rare. However, we would like to take extra precaution and be sure the public is safe. It's possible that this is an isolated incident and that the coyote was startled by the jogger. So they'll have police and animal control officers monitoring the area. But there's not a lot of information there about why he was bitten. What happened? Was there a confrontation? Was he just running and then all of a sudden the animal came out of nowhere and bit him? That seems unlikely. But not a lot of information there. There's also a story today. I don't know if you've seen this going around, but the family of John O'Keefe, the police officer who was killed in the Karen Reed trial that is now going to be retried in January after there was a hung jury and a mistrial. So The O'Keefe family has filed a lawsuit, a civil suit, against Karen Reed and against the two bars that the couple was drinking in before O'Keefe was killed. So it says in the lawsuit that Reed's defense, quote, outrageously created a false narrative about the case, and they're seeking compensatory and punitive damages. So again, you can read more about that at WCVB.com. But this is not expected to be heard before the second trial that's planned for January 27th. But I'm sure that'll be another thing that'll be making headlines every day once that trial rolls around. Which, by the way, I know people are going to call up and say this is not double jeopardy. Because a case with a hung jury that's a mistrial doesn't count as a trial. It never happened as far as the law is concerned. There was not a decision rendered, so the trial is invalid. Anything that was presented in that trial needs to now be represented in the second trial. But that will happen before this lawsuit is heard. And maybe it ends up being something that will be concurrent. I think they'd have to push back the civil trial because I believe criminal trials take precedence, but also that one was scheduled first. App chat on the WBSM app. I got a message on the app from Participation Trophy Wife, who says that, sent me a photo of the Little Mermaid Disney VHS tape. That's got to be worth a pretty penny. A beloved movie and that VHS classic format with those Disney cases, the white cases. I also had a lot of promotional videos as well. Like things like when the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles were hugely popular, Burger King did a giveaway where you could get a VHS tape for like $1.99 with a couple of Turtles episodes on it. I have those. I have Captain Power tapes somewhere. Captain Power was a toy line, action figures and vehicles, you know, these jets. And when you watch the show or watch the videotape of episodes, it would send out a signal that would cause the toy to interact. So Captain Power would stand in his power chamber and say, "Power on!" to get all of his powers. I know I'm saying power a lot. And then when he would do that and say, "Power on," if you had the little toy version of the power chamber, that would activate when he said it and it would light up. And if you had the jets, was it the XJ7? And if you pointed it at the screen, it was like a video game. You know, you were shooting at the screen and it would shoot back and then it would shoot you and your figure would eject out of the ship. It was very cool. And those tapes, I guess, go for pretty good money. Because people have the toy still, but they can't find the videotapes. Melissa in Acushnet says, "Hey, Tim, I remember recording music videos onto VHS tapes. Did you do the same?" Yes, I did. And in a way, you know, the smart thing to do, which is what I would do a lot, is I would just turn on the tape and just let it record 6 or 8 hours of MTV straight. If I was watching it and felt industrious, I might pause during the commercials. But I have some tapes where I did, where I didn't. Then I have other tapes where I actually like waited until there was a video I wanted to record. And so they sometimes start like 5 seconds late because it's like, oh, that's what this is. I had to wait for the stuff to come up on the screen. So, but I had a lot of VHS tapes and music videos. I don't know that I have them all anymore. But I will say, Melissa, if you have MTV Classic on your cable, they have like 80s and 90s music video shows. So you get to see, and I record the 90s one every day. There's like a couple episodes on every day. I record it every day. And then I'll just sit down and binge a couple of hours of watching them. So that's worth setting the DVR for. But if you've got the videotapes and you still have all the old commercials, it's even better. All the bumpers, Jimmy the cab driver. Isn't it ironic, don't you think? So all those great things that they used to do. I recommend watching the shows on the MTV Classic, though. There was something else I was going to bring up, and now I lost it, but I'll think of it. Going to take a break anyway. 508-996-0500. We will be right back. And welcome back in. 508-996-0500. Yeah, we can play Rage on the show. Nobody said I couldn't. So 508-996-0500. App chat on the WBSM app. Say, wrestling fans out there, first of all, some of you might have been in Providence last night for Monday Night Raw. I haven't watched the whole thing. I went to bed about halfway through. But everybody that I saw that went there said they had a great time. That it's an even better fan experience now in the Triple H regime here. But those of you who grew up watching wrestling, especially in the 90s, you probably remember two-time WWE champion Sid Udy, who was also known as Sid Vicious and at times Sid Justice. He passed away at the age of 63. His son, Gunnar Udy, posted to Facebook, "I am deeply saddened to share that my father, Sid Udy, has passed away after battling cancer for several years. He was a man of strength, kindness, and love, and his presence will be greatly missed. We appreciate your thoughts and prayers as we grieve this loss." WWE said that he was one of the most imposing and terrifying competitors of his generation, with a natural charisma that immediately connected with the WWE universe. Standing at 6'9", Sid gained notoriety in 1989 when he signed with WCW and wrestled with and against some of the biggest names in the industry, including the Steiner Brothers, the Road Warriors, and the Four Horsemen. He made his debut as Sid Justice and served as a special guest referee at SummerSlam 91 during a match between Hulk Hogan, the Ultimate Warrior, and the Triangle of Terror in a 3-on-2 match. That very same night, Sid saved Randy Savage and Miss Elizabeth from an attack at the evil hands of Jake Roberts and The Undertaker at the couple's newlywed reception. And then, of course, he became known as Psycho Sid in his later time in WWE. I'll have two big Sid Vicious memories. One, when he was wrestling, I forget who it was that he was wrestling, but he came down, he broke his leg, and the bone actually went through his leg on live TV, like a Joe Theismann type injury on live television. And then the time that he was supposed to show up at a wrestling house show at Brockton High School, and I went down there to meet him, and he didn't show. So those are the two things that I will remember about Sid. But R.I.P. Psycho Sid, Sid Vicious, Sid Justice, Sid Udy. 508-996-0500. Good morning. You're on WBSM.
Hey, Tim. What's going on?
How's it going?
Not bad. So I remember back in the day, in the mid or early 90s, the Iron Sheik was at Greater New Bedford, Voc Tech, for a show. They did like wrestling matches over there for like fundraisers.
Yeah, I mean, he was the guy that came around the Northeast quite a bit.
Yeah, I remember him. I actually had to pass. I don't know what I was passing out. I got recruited somehow, and I ended up passing out, like, pictures of him or whatever. And I just went, you know, up and down the stands, and I ended up going backstage, and I got a picture taken with him with me and my dad. It was pretty funny.
He was a really, really nice guy in real life.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't have a conversation, but, yeah, we took a picture, did some photo op stuff, and then yeah, went on our way. But that's a cool memory of mine back when he must have, for him to go to Voc Tech, he was probably already retired. So that might have been late 90s. Well, early to mid 90s, probably closer to like 94, 95 then.
Well, wrestlers never really retire. They just get fired from WWE and then go make money on the independent circuit. So
right. Yeah, 100%. I remember that too. But yeah, that's a cool memory. I called also because I don't know if you touched base on this, but I guess Zuckerberg admitted that the White House and the federal government pressured him into censoring content on his platform during the pandemic in regards to COVID.
Yeah, I saw a little story about that, but I haven't read it in depth.
Yeah, I find that very, you know, put offish. You know, the government should not be, because put it this way, I wouldn't want the federal government to make you guys censor anything on WBSM, you know, and they shouldn't be doing that also at the Facebook level. You know, especially with, you know, if I write an article, an op-ed, right? Because that's basically what Facebook is, just a bunch of people doing op-eds on a news platform. If I wrote an op-ed and the government told you not to publish it, I would hope that you guys would push back on that. The same thing would be with Zucky there.
So just taking a look at this AP story. So it said that it was that they were pressured for months to take down certain COVID-19 content, including humor and satire, so that they were, right. You know, it seems like the story is portraying as they were trying to say, hey, you know, we want people to take this seriously. We want to eliminate misinformation. And part of that means eliminating, you know, humor and jokes about it.
Yeah, that's not the place of the government, in my opinion.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the place of the government would be, you know, put out the information via your own channels and don't pressure other publications, private entities, to do the same thing. Don't censor. And it's unfortunate. I mean, I'm glad that Zuckerberg admitted it, but it really puts a back. And Harris has to actually face this. I think she has to speak to it, because if not, it's going to just it'll crush her campaign. Or a good portion of it, especially with RFK being on the other side. You know, with RFK being on the other side, he'll be able to go right after that, because he was censored. Specifically, he was censored.
Well, but
he was kicked off a lot of platforms.
But here's my concern about it is why weren't they also going to, like, Joe Rogan and telling him to stop putting out the information he was putting out about it? Or why weren't they going to, you know, some of the right-wing news sites and saying, like, stop putting out the information you're putting out about it? It seems like they
right.
were just
why was it
just targeting
why
Facebook.
Was it selective? Right. Yeah. Why was it selective? Why wasn't it? Was it also Twitter? You know, I know you had the Twitter files out there for a while, and I didn't read much into the Twitter files, but from what I understand, they were doing a lot of stuff too that was under the pressure of the federal government.
Also too, it depends on how Zuckerberg is defining pressure. Is it that they sent repeated letters asking for him not to do it, or were they making threats of, you know, there might be some kind of regulation coming your way if you don't do it? There's a difference between a threat and what he sees as, you know, an inconvenience request that he was right. just never going to have to obey anyway.
Right. Right. But I look at this in recent light of what's happening in France too, with the pushback on, with the arrest of the Telegram guy. You know, so you have the arrest of the Telegram guy and free speech. And you have this guy, Zuckerberg, admitting that the federal government was pressuring him to censor. You know, the West is supposed to be that beacon of light and freedom, and it turns out it's not turning out that great. You know, it's turning out that we're censoring just as much as, you know, as Putin would. Not as much as Putin would, but we're under that same precipice.
Sure.
That whole light. You know, we used to be that beacon on the hill, that shining light of freedom, and we're looking just as bad as the rest of them now.
Yeah. Well, I mean, like I said, you know, is it the equivalent of when I send a cease and desist and somebody's like, yeah, I'll pay attention to this when you actually send the actual lawyer. So I don't know. I got to hold you there, though. Thanks for the call. You have a good day.
You got it.
I got to take this final break and get it in before we run out of time. We will be right back. All right. Well, that's going to do it for me for today. I'll be back tomorrow. Tomorrow, we're going to be joined by Dr. Podkawa, who's going to talk with us about the Podkawa 5K in honor of his late wife, to raise money for cancer research and cancer care with South Coast Health. And, of course, that's very important to me. So I'll be taking part in that walk. Notice I said walk. Some of you will run. It's a 5K. Some of you will run. I will walk. I just want to improve my time.